This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world. Scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
And we've got a bunch of stories from Thomson Reuters this week. The first one is from Africa, from Kenya. Kenya, and in Kenya they are counting intersex people in the census, in the population census, for the first time. It's coming as a move from the Persons with Disabilities Minister, whose name is Isaac Mwara, and he says, we have got no numbers yet on the number of people who are intersex, yet we know this is a highly stigmatised issue. I think it's just really interesting that they're counting people with intersex, but pretty certain that they're not counting other LGBT people in Kenya.
And we also know that in Kenya there is other discrimination in effect against the LGBTI community as a whole. So this seems quite... I was not expecting this story.
I think it's because it's being treated as a disability issue, which, you know, depends how you tackle it. Let's just cross to Australia, what's happening at the present time. In the last Australian census, we don't specifically count intersex people, but the census revealed 40 people who were intersex. The actual population's estimated to be something like 400,000 people. And there's a big debate coming up, follow the Informer this week on Thursday, where we're talking about whether we're going to count LGBT people in the next Australian census in 2020.
So this issue in Kenya also, it seems that parents often rush to have surgery performed on their children at a young age to prevent ridicule.
Yeah. This is really progressive, actually, what they're doing. It's pretty good.
It's quite funny when you hear how they had to do the census. They had to go around and close all the bars and restaurants to make sure people were home, because a lot of the parts of Kenya, people don't at home when they're not. So it's interesting, the backstory behind that.
In China, the Parliament has ruled out allowing same-sex marriage. So in Beijing, a couple of days ago, Parliament stated that limiting marriage to a relationship between a man and woman will remain China's legal position. That follows the ruling from neighbouring Taiwan that allowed same-sex marriage despite pressure from activists. Following their neighbours, that's right.
What does it? So Taiwan did pass a bill endorsing same-sex marriage, though. So how does this affect? Effect does this have in Taiwan?
Especially with what's happening in Hong Kong at the moment, it's very sensitive. Taiwan is the territory of China.
So is this Beijing flexing its muscle?
I think probably. I mean, they have to.
Is interesting in the sense that in this, what's happening in Hong Kong is the major... Beijing's really worried about what this says to Taiwanese. And the Taiwanese, because if they think Hong Kong is a headache, Taiwan's going to be an almighty migraine in a one China, two systems type scenario for Taiwan. Yeah. So it's interesting they take these tack, because I think they should be taking the opposite tack, saying we're not going to upset any of your attitudes, and we're not going to enforce a heavy top down approach. Anyway,
even for mainland China though, there has been progress on LGBT issues. So it's not really something that is. there's been a growing acceptance and I guess visibility for the LGBT community in many of the bigger cities on mainland China.
We need to point out there's no laws against same-sex relationship in China, so it's not illegal.
So it's interesting where this is coming from. What's the thought behind it? So now to Europe, where, this is nothing new to Worldwide Wave. We've been talking about these countries for a while now, but some new statistics have come out regarding rise of homophobia in some European countries. that do not legally recognise same-sex relations. And, you know, there's no surprises here where these countries are for most of us here in the studio. So, but this report's actually come from Hungary. And although, you know, the news stories from Hungary are not always great, actually it's not Hungary that tops these lists. It's, you know, Russia, of course, Bulgaria, Lithuania, Poland, Ukraine have all seen acceptance of gay and lesbian people decrease over the 14-year period this study was done. Interestingly, what I thought was interesting, actually, that Hungary, Orbán, for all his sort of right-wing rhetoric, he only says he's against same-sex unions. Same-sex marriage. Hungary allows same-sex unions. They're just not allowed to adopt children, and they're not allowed to have the same status as heterosexual unions.
If you achieve marriage equality, then there is a
flow-on.
So is that about a visibility thing? Is that about is marriage equality sort of a hump, and once you get over it, then it's a much easier
ride? Says the researcher here says it's really highlights the role of the state, and it's a great responsibility for the politicians. And when this comes through, then it's this official endorsement is the way I take away from this.
Yeah. Change for me, I do love a good social survey, and especially one that tracks longitudinal. It is not longitudinal, but it's been cross-sectional, and it's gone over multiple years, over about 15 years. And what I see from this, not having not digested the whole paper, but I see that actually the attitudes have shifted and been much more progressive in those countries that have introduced marriage equality or other anti-discrimination measures. And you don't see that in those other countries. So yeah, politicians have got a lead.
People respect the law.
Now, here's somewhere where politicians have taken a lead.
Local politicians think
leather and rubber. It's scary. This story comes out of the UK, where a local council has stopped a development that was going to take over this area, which has a rubber and leather fetish club there. And they've said basically that club is culturally important to that area, therefore you cannot build a big housing development.
Yes, and there are very few, believe it or not, fetish leather or rubber bars in London anymore. In fact, Back Street, which is only about 2 kilometres from where I used to live in Shoreditch in the East End, let's not go there.
How trendy, Shoreditch.
That was before it was trendy. So this was actually in quite a working class area, a little bit further out in Bow. It's been there for a very, very long time indeed. And I think what's great is one thing is, this article that we're reading out from here is from the Sun newspaper. And it's a wonderful article saying actually that we need to have safe spaces for LGBT people, and it quotes the local councillor as well. So I really love that, and I think it is important to have diversity, to have now, spaces which are safe for all people.
Was the picture in the Sun of the local mayor dressed in a rubber outfit and a, you know...
All right, Governor.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not quite like EastEnders.
No.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.